hugging Jesus. And Penny heads up the women's ministry here, and Penny is passionate about Jesus. Penny is an amazing woman that is always seeking God. And I know the word that she brings this morning is going to impact, it's going to be powerful. So why don't we give Penny a round of applause as she comes and brings the word this morning.
Thank you, Stu. Great to be here with you this morning. And speaking of women's ministry, just put in your date. We have a great event coming up on September 23rd on a Saturday night. And it's going to be a time to connect and have fun together. And there's going to be details in Facebook on it. So put that in your diaries. So it's amazing to just get to share some things that God's put on my heart. And the most exciting news, some of you probably already know, but Gary and I are grandparents. And I had to get my mind around that because I thought, I'm married to a grandfather. But in the same way, he's married to a grandma. But, you know, the Lord allowed me to be there at the birth, and it was amazing. Just a beautiful time. And I have to say, our daughter, she had all the birth pains. We rushed to the hospital. And by the time she got in the birth room, she actually popped that baby out in 30 minutes. And what can I say? Her husband is a fitness trainer. So I don't know if that has something to do with it. But let's pray. And I'm going to see if this will come up. That's great. So, Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for every person that you have brought here today. And thank you that we have the privilege. We have been in your presence worshiping you and sensing what you were speaking over us. And, God, thank you for your word. I submit to you now. Take my words out and let your word be the foremost. And may we walk away today with one thing that we know you have spoken over us. So, God, we just invite your Holy Spirit again just to do your work, and may you rule and reign in this place. In the amazing, powerful name of Jesus, amen. And, you know, we've been doing this series on encounters, and the encounters come in many ways. We just experienced corporate encounter all across the UK. Corporate encounter comes through some of our family is at David's Tent. Other family is at Soul Survivor. And even in the midst of corporate encounters where God wants his people to come together and experience him, he gives us individual encounters. And last week it was amazing. Al and Viv were leading worship. And we were singing the song, This Is Our God. And I remember just really sensing the Lord saying, I want you to go for it and just remember that veil is torn to come through. You're in my presence. And we were declaring, there is no one like our God. And it was powerful. And I had my hands out, just like this, both hands. And in the midst of that song, all of a sudden I felt two little hands grasp mine. And it just held my hands. And I opened my eyes, and there were two girls of families here that had stood up on the chair, and I guess they were watching, and they were intrigued by, you know, worship. And the next thing I knew, they took my hands, and then they just gave me the biggest hug. And a part of me was like, oh, that's sweet. Now I'm going to get back to worship. And the father said, Penny, that was for you. I want you to know how much I love you. You're in awe of my presence, but I'm an individual God who loves you so much. And I knew that because when they were hugging me, they wouldn't let go. And I just thought, Lord, what are you saying right now? So I love that. In encounter, we can experience it corporately, individually, and then God gives us that those things in our life when we experience an encounter. He wants us to bring it to others. Amen. And if the one thing that I want you to walk away with today is our faith, everything that he's done in our lives, we've been declaring his faithfulness, and all of that is not just for us. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, our faith is not just for us. Come on. Okay. It's not just for our family. Say that. It's not just for our family. Okay. But it's also for the world. And it's always reassuring when you feel like you've sat before the Lord and you know what he wants you to bring. And then in the service, you hear nuggets. So lots was mentioned about faith and faith increasing and our new identity. And even Eugene talked about Moses. And we've mentioned Moses in the past weeks, but I felt like the Father's saying, bring it. Okay? Doesn't matter if that someone else has already brought it, but this, I want them to get it. So if you would, just look quickly in Psalm 90. And while you're turning there, Psalm 90. I'm just going to read this quickly for you. And this is a psalm. A lot of times we think of the psalms as what David writes. And he wrote many, but there were several authors. And Psalm 90 is actually written by Moses. And we want to look at verse 1 and 2. And it says, I'm reading from the NIV. Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the whole earth, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Okay, turn to your neighbor. I'm going to keep you occupied, sorry. And say, he is everlasting. Now what that means, everlasting, another word, is eternity. Or believe it or not, the Hebrew word there means horizon. So as in the worship, as it was coming out, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Okay? He is everlasting. Isaiah 57:15 says, God inhabits eternity. That's a beautiful verse. I'm going to say it again. Isaiah 57:15 says, God inhabits eternity. 1 Timothy 1:17 says, he is the king of eternity. Okay? The God we serve, the God we know, the God that loves to be passionately involved in our lives is the king of eternity. Amen? Amen? Is that an amen? Are you with me? Gary and I had the opportunity. We were in Uganda earlier this year teaching at a conference, and they're really with you. You know, they'll go, amen, amen, and they feed back. So I might try to get you to do that. But our eternal king desires relationship with us. Can we just pause there? Our eternal king desires relationship with us. And that's incredible. But here's our dilemma. Here's our dilemma. We, if you know Jesus, we know and worship the God of eternity. But the dilemma we're in is we have the tension of being drawn into the now. Okay? That's our tension. We're being drawn into the now. Things seem so much more pressing than being on our face before the Lord. Things seem more demanding than just declaring and having time to pray. Okay? We feel those pressures. And in this psalm, in Psalm 90, it's quite sobering because it's actually Moses is describing the greatness, the eternalness of God. But in the same time, he actually is describing the brevity, the shortness of man. And there's a beautiful nugget in verse 12, Psalm 90, verse 12. And in the NLT, it says, teach us to realize the brevity of life, or the shortness of life, so that we may grow in wisdom. And today, just as we've been talking about encounter, what I felt the Lord wanted us to look at today is in encounter, Encounter comes in surrender. Okay? Encounter comes in surrender. And you might ask, well, how does surrender lead us to encounter with God? And there's several key things that I believe he's saying. And the first one, in surrender, we say yes to the unknown. Okay? We say yes to the unknown. And I'm excited because I had papers everywhere, all over our table and books. And it's like the Lord said, here's three keys. So hopefully by the end of today, you'll know what these keys are. So the first thing is surrendering to the unknown. And I want us to look at the life of Moses briefly. So if you would jump back to Exodus, and we're looking at Exodus 3. And while you're turning there, Exodus 3, just to give us a little bit of background, Moses had run. Moses had been in Midian. We know that he grew up, he had privilege in the palace. He also had he was weaned from his mother, so he was learning the Hebrew culture. He had privilege in the palace of education. But yet, in a moment when he got angry and saw slaves, he killed an Egyptian guard. And then he feared for his life. He took it in his own hands, and that wasn't God's way. So he knew, Pharaoh got the news and said, okay, bring him in and we're going to kill him. So he ran to Midian. So he ran. He ended up in that desert land, in that wilderness. He ended up being restored. And for any of us here, can I just say, when we're in the wilderness, God wants to bring us rest. He wants contentment, believe it or not, in our lives. To keep seeking him and those things that are roots, our faith, our foundation gets deeper and deeper in him. So when the time comes, then he says, I'm ready. Ready to change this situation. But we don't want to waste our wilderness. Okay, because sometimes we can be in there a lot longer than we're meant to be. This is coming to mind, so I'm going to give it. But there was a period in my life that just recently that I felt like God just put the brakes on and said, I want you to just be with me. Okay, that's the most important thing. The highest call on our lives is intimacy with Christ. And he said, do you know what? Just you and me for a while. And it was, sometimes it was frustrating, sometimes it was hard, but the thing that he kept saying, keep pursuing me because I'm pursuing you. Okay, so he's constantly pursuing us. And in that time, in that right time, he said, okay, It's time to keep going. And he gave that to me. Praise God. So Moses, he's been in the wilderness 40 years. He's married to Zipporah. He has a son. His father-in-law, Jethro, was a Midian priest. And many times I think, you know, he had to have thought, Lord, what about the people in Egypt? Do you think? I don't think he could have forgot what he saw. And even as he looked around and he thought, my family is enjoying freedom. My family can work. My family can rest. My family can worship. But yet, your people are still crying out. And one of the most significant things that we can always know and believe is God is always working. Okay? God is always working. And I grew up with a statement in my mind from my home pastor that when we sense that God is silent, he's never still. Okay, can we let that sink in? When God is silent, he's not still. And how I know that, in Exodus 2, I'm going to get you to Exodus 3, but Exodus 2, the very last verses, in 24 and 25, says God heard the cries. God had not forgotten the cries of the Israelites. He remembered the covenant of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he was already orchestrating events to bring redemption, to bring deliverance to the Israelites. And it's a freeing thing to know that God is at work. And as Matt taught a couple of weeks ago, I ran to him afterwards and said, "That's what God gave me. Am I supposed to create a new message?" And he said, "No, bring it, because we need to hear it." But there's freedom in that when we know that God is already working and his presence goes before us. Here's the thing I want us to walk away with today. He invites us to join him in what he's doing. And we're going to build on that thought. So he's working. As believers of Christ, we are his hands, his feet, his heart, and his voice to the world. And he invites us to join him in what he's doing. Ah, yes. So in Exodus 3, 7 to 10, here's what happened. Moses, he's in Midian. He's a shepherd. And then all of a sudden, God says, "You know what? I'm calling you out. You've been in this wilderness, and it's time to make a change." And he had to go. He had to surrender. In order to grow his faith, in order to build his faith, he had to be obedient. And he surrendered to the unknown. So in chapter 3, we have the burning bush experience. Pete was even talking about this last week. Amazing thing that God looks at him, calls his name. Moses says, "Here I am." And he says, "Don't come any closer. Take off your shoes. You're on holy ground." Because here he was saying, God says, "I am." And again, he's saying, "I am the God of Abraham, of Isaac, of Jacob." Yeah. And he was identifying himself as that, identifying, saying, "There is none other. I am God." And so we look at in chapter 3 in verse 7 and 10. The Lord said to Moses, "You can be sure I've seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I've heard their cries for deliverance from their harsh slave drivers. Yes, I'm aware of their suffering, so I have come to rescue them." And as I was reading this week, I actually thought, I wonder if Moses went, "What's about time? Wow, glad you're doing that, God. I've wondered about them. You know, I've been enjoying my life, but yeah, I'm glad you're going to do that." But you keep reading. I'm going to jump to verse 10. He says, "Oh, I have something planned, but here's the key. Now go, for I am sending you to Pharaoh. I am sending you. You will lead my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." And the key that I would love for us to grasp right here, when we surrender and say yes to the unknown, that sometimes we have to adjust. Okay? Turn to your neighbor, your friend, whoever you came with, and say the word adjust. Adjust. Now, let me just build this for you, okay? I hope these things stick in your mind this week. Okay, we surrender to encounter God. We surrender to the unknown. That means stepping out in faith. But we have to have a huge adjustment. Let me give you an example. Noah, guess what he had? I can only fathom what Noah was doing, but he had to stop what he was doing, and he began building the ark. Abraham had to leave Ur. He was given the promise to be the father of many nations. And Hebrews says that Abraham stepped out in faith, going, not knowing where he was going to go. Okay? Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah. Hope your ears perked up. Those are the Hebrew names for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And I love it because when they were in the fiery furnace, I always wondered, surely they thought, where's Daniel? Daniel was in the palace. Daniel was praying. And they had to step up. And their response to the fire was, we may not come through, but we still worship the one true God. Okay? So they had to adjust. Is God calling you to adjust, to step out into new places, to not be dependent on maybe the one person you're really dependent on, but only dependent on him? Just felt like he was saying that over that example. Esther had to surrender to God's providence. She came before the king. He could have said, you know what? I don't want to see you. And she would have died. She risked her life. Peter, Andrew, James, and John, they left their livelihood. They left their jobs to go follow Jesus. Paul totally changed his life around to preach to Gentiles. And I have to throw this one out here because I read it and I had never really gathered this. And maybe anyone sleepy, this will wake you up. Timothy, when he went on the missionary journey with Paul, some of you might know this, but he had to, as an adult, suffer circumcision. Okay, my son's eyebrows just went up. Nathan, sorry. As an adult, okay? And that sometimes we have to adjust. God's saying, I'm turning this around. There's a great verse. I said that God is always working, and he wants to invite us. This is a beautiful passage that came across, Holy Spirit gave to me. So it's 1 Corinthians, and I hope you're writing some of these down, just some scriptures, so you go back and ask the Father to give you even more. But 1 Corinthians 1:9 says, God will do this. He is faithful. Hallelujah. That's what we've been singing about this morning. He is faithful to do what he says. And he has invited you and me into partnership with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. I don't know about you, but that's exciting to me. Is that exciting to you? Don't be sleepy. It's too good, okay? God's word is good. So turn to your friend and say, he's invited you into partnership. So if we're saying yes and we're surrendering to the unknown, we have to make adjustments, okay? We're in his partnership. And just a quick little story. Literally, after Matt spoke on this Sunday and said, you know what? God's presence is there. He's omnipresent. Amen? He's omnipresent, and we see and experience the manifest presence. That means we might get a word for somebody. We might get a thought. And literally, we had just packed up a van. One of our sons was moving his girlfriend up north, and I had my headphones on the day after we heard that message. And I was going to pop into town, and I'm worshiping Jesus, and I'm enjoying just me and Jesus time, you know, just great. And as I'm walking, I come into Brentwood, and I see a community officer. And immediately, the Holy Spirit says, pray. Stop what you're doing and pray. And I've learned enough that if I want to keep growing, I want to keep stepping out in faith, I don't want to miss his voice, that I just do it, okay? I love Romans 12. You know the passage 1 and 2 that says, you know what? Our life isn't our own anymore, okay? We are living sacrifices, and we're not going to be like the world. He wants us to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. So I had to learn, when I heard that, I didn't ignore it. Because verse 3, we miss verse 3. I love Romans 12:3 that says, to each of us, Paul's writing about the gifts, and he says, to each of us, there is a measure of faith that God gives us. Every one of us in this room, God has given a measure of faith. And it's up to us to step into it by the power of the Holy Spirit. And with that freedom, knowing that God is already working, what do we have to lose, people? Okay? So I walk up to this lady, just say hello. Turned out her name is Susan. So if you see her, she's a community officer in Shenfield and Brentwood. I literally just thought, I'm going to just not even do all the hello, how are you? I just took my headphone off. She looked at me. I said, I know this sounds crazy, but as I was walking and I saw your face, I just felt like God said, pray a blessing over you today. And her response, I can't believe it. You're the second person this morning that has done that. Okay, come on. Okay, that just confirmed God's going, Penny, I love you, but I love her too. And you know what, Penny? It ain't about you. Okay, when we get ourselves out of the way, get over those inhibitions, we are kingdom. Okay, we're not British, we're not American. Yes, we might sound it, but even more so, we are kingdom. And that's what we carry. We're not pushing anything, but we know that he's there. He's ready to partner with us. I love that. And so there's know that there's this tension that we have in encounter. There's a tension, so we have to keep adjusting. And let me just, I love this other verse that says, the Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives. Though they stumble, they will never fall, for the Lord holds them by the hand. And I just want to put this out there, that sometimes we read stories, all those that we mentioned, seeing great faith arise. But this past week, in the past 10 days, I've had the chance to talk to two of the young men sitting in this church. And, well, three, one's my son, one of our sons, but the other two, they all faced moments where what they planned, what they dreamed, what they hoped for didn't happen. Okay, this door went boom. And what encourages my heart so much, they didn't go the other way until God to clear it off. They didn't go and say, you know what, so much for praying, so much for believing God. But all three said, I don't know. This is unknown to me, but I know that you're going before me. And I love 1 Thessalonians 5:24 says, faithful is he who calls you, and he will do it. Amen. So I love that it's not just the older people, but it's younger ones, young men, young women in our church that are saying, I don't understand, but I know God's faithful and he's going to carry. So that's encouraging. That was so encouraging to me. So the next thing, we say yes when we surrender to the unknown. We also say yes when we surrender to the uncomfortable. And just looking in back in Exodus chapter 4, I'm just going to highlight a couple of verses. Exodus 4:1 says, but Moses protested again. Look, they won't believe me. They won't do what I tell them. They'll just say the Lord never appeared to you. And I'm going to jump to verse 10. So he's giving all these excuses to God of why he's not the one to go. In verse 10, Moses pleaded with the Lord, Lord, I am not a good speaker. I never have been. I'm not now, even after you've spoken to me. Huh. And we hit, and even in verse 13, but Moses again pleaded, Lord, send someone else. And I want us to ask ourselves today, have we been in that position where we say, God, let someone else do it. It's too hard. Okay, and the uncomfortable, there's people that have stepped out in new areas, have gone to university, gotten a degree in a particular area, and God says, you know what, I'm glad you did that, but I have something even different for you. And they've said yes. That encourages my faith incredibly. There's pioneers in our church. We were with speaking to a couple this past week that just said, you know what? It's hard. It's hard. There's opposition. There's barriers. But because God has called us and we realize we're pioneers, it is worth it. So my question to us today, is our no easier than our yes? Okay? It's easier to say no. Is our no easier than our yes? Another just quick moment. I was in a field. I love to go in this field in Brentwood and run. That's kind of my thing. Just to sometimes when I feel stress or obstacles or I just don't know what's going on, I go and I walk and run. And this one particular day, this was only about a month ago, and a lot was on my heart, and just this lady was there. Her house is on the backside of the Brentwood rugby fields, and she was trying to spray weeds or something. So she had this weed killer in her hand. So I came up kind of carefully because I didn't want her to turn and, you know, spray weed killer on me. But I was like, hello. We talked a bit. I was polite. And then I just thought, no, I'm going to keep going. So as I went off, and I got from here to like where the coffee area is, that was a good way away. And I heard the Father just put in my mind, again, Holy Spirit put in my mind, she has pain in her right knee and in her right hip. And everything in me went, nah, I'm already far away. I'm already gone. And, I just kept going. And I literally, it felt like this tension, this pull. And again, it was that I'd rather be obedient than miss God. I'd rather be obedient. And even if I got it wrong, do you know what? And that's what we have to get over. You know, even if you get it wrong, it doesn't matter. So I thought, I can't just make a beeline back for her. She might get a bit scared. So I ran around the field again. And I say ran. I run like a grandma. But I ran, came up to her, and she looked at me like you again. I said, again, I know this sounds crazy, but as I walked away from you, what I heard is you have pain in your right knee and your right hip. She said one word to me, and it was a nice word. She said, excruciating. There's a tension, guys. There's a tension that we miss the God of eternity that wants to encounter us, but also bring that encounter to others. And you know what? I love this quote. I love making quotes, but this one is by Gaza. That's our nickname for my husband. Our kids gave it to him. But I love this. We did a seminar in January, and this is what God gave him. That destiny rises out of identity. It's so easy to say no, just like Moses. He had to face fear, doubt, unbelief, opposition. But when we know who we belong to, when we know that victory was done on the cross, then we don't have to be subject to chains. We don't have to be subject to fear. We don't have to be subject to doubt, because the power of Christ is in us. Amen? Okay? Power of Christ is in us. And he's saying that our destiny rises out of identity. So the more we keep saying yes to him, the more that we get over fear and the Holy Spirit's leading, then we will walk in our destiny. How many of you want to walk in your destiny? Yeah? Okay, there's not one hand. Let me just, real quick, whatever we make agreement with, and any of my Monday girls, I've said this for like the past years, it's always been something that God's put on my heart. Whatever we make agreement with, if it's fear, if it's doubt, if it's insecurity, if it's lack, if I make agreement with that, then that becomes the authority in my life. And what that means, that authority then governs my decisions, because that's what I'm bowing down to. And the only thing that we want to bow down to is the King of Kings, the King of Eternity, the one who has come and sent his Son and died for us that we would rule and reign here. He calls us kings and priests. Kings because we carry his authority, priest because we are his hands, feet, intercessors for the world. Ah, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. So we surrender to the, we surrender to the unknown. We surrender to the uncomfortable. And the last thing is we surrender to the unexpected. Yes, thank you, Jesus. In just quickly, in Exodus 24, you don't have to turn there, but there's a beautiful thing. We know the story. We know that Moses ultimately got people through God's power, got people through the Red Sea. They crossed into the Promised Land. 3 months into the Promised Land, in Exodus 24, it's a beautiful picture of God desiring relationship. And he actually says to Moses and Aaron, who was the high priest, and Aaron's sons, and 70 of the elders, he says, I want you to come and worship. But here's the thing. God said, you have to worship from afar because God was holy. No one could come to him. But then in verse 2 in Exodus 24, he says, but Moses, come near. Moses, come near. Then Moses, this chapter, Moses then has to do a sacrifice, make the payment in order for them to be able to connect. And once he does that, a beautiful thing in verse 10, it says, once that happened, he said, God said, all of them can come near. Now, I don't know if you, that's my thing, that when I sit before the Lord and I hear from him, he's then saying, I'm inviting everyone around you to come near, and I want to use you. Okay? I want to use you. There's a picture in verse 10 of Exodus 24:10, and they encounter God, and they even eat and drink. Okay? It's a beautiful picture of fellowshipping with God. But the picture, they see God on this pavement, and it's a pavement of sapphire, a beautiful pavement. And that pavement is a picture of an invitation. Because when I started looking at this, it was like there's an invitation that he's saying, we're on a journey, and every day you can come near. The tension we live in, the immediacy of the now, how often do we draw near? What do I take my comfort in? How often do we draw near? One of the coolest things is, if you look in Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 3, I'm wrapping this up, but Hebrews 3 says, Jesus is greater than Moses. Today we looked at Moses. And the cool thing, Moses was faithful to what God, the task God gave him. But then in Hebrews 3, it says, Jesus is greater. In the book of Hebrews, it actually means crossing over. Okay? Those of us that know Jesus, he said, do you know what? I have disarmed powers and authorities. Colossians 2:15 says he came, and when he died on the cross, he disarmed powers and authorities. Do you know what that means, church? We want to wake up to the fact that the victory has already been won. We do not have to wait and say, God, show me the victory. Give me the victory. He won it at the cross. Come on, hallelujah. He won it at the cross. He's disarmed powers and authorities. Satan, our enemy, is defeated. He is defeated. Hebrews 2:14-15 even says that when Jesus came, he abolished the fear of death. He abolished the fear of death. And what he did on the cross, if Hebrews talks about crossing over, we have come out of darkness into light. Amen? Okay? Out of darkness into life. We've come into light. We've come out of death. We came out of death and we're now in life. We've come out of shame and we are now a son. Amen? We're a son. We belong to him. Where we've had hopelessness, depression, we now have life. We now have hope. Where we've had to be victims, we now have the victory. Where chains have wrapped us, chains around us, we now have freedom. And one of the most beautiful passages, the last one I want to just show you, is 1 Timothy 2:6. And it says that Jesus became a ransom for us all. Jesus became a ransom. And a ransom, I love this definition, ransom, a payment made to set captives free. A payment made to set captives free. So, church, I want to ask us today, is there anything in this realm, is there anything that we need to surrender? Maybe we've walked in the unknown. We've walked in the uncomfortable. We've walked in the unexpected. But is there something that we need to surrender so that we're not held captive? We had a beautiful time. We were in Sicily recently, last month, well, end of June, and we had the most beautiful privilege to work with refugees, my husband and I and one of our sons. And it was the most probably stretching, uncomfortable time in the sense that there was so much that we weren't even, you know, we weren't even sure what we were going to be doing. And the day we got there, they basically made us leaders and said, here's a group, you're going out into the city, and you're basically going to find refugees, talk to them, hear their story, and then our heart is that you get their details and connect them with these people that are here the whole time. And I had my group, and I felt like, yay, this is great. And we're walking, and they had been a bit inhibited, so they were like, yay, someone's coming to help us. And I'm kind of embarrassed to share this story, but I'm going to do it because, it just shows God can use anything, anyone. But if any of you ever been to Catania, Italy, I don't know if you've been there, but the driving is bizarre. It's crazy. And we were walking across this crosswalk. And when you walk across the crosswalk on a big roundabout, they're supposed to stop. And I have this group of young, you know, college-age kids with me. There's about seven of us. I'm walking. They're fearless leader. And it looks like we're about to get hit. And sadly, out of my mouth, unbeknown it, came a word that I don't use very often. And it's like doggy poop, okay? But it's not, I didn't say, oh, doggy poop. I said something else. And all of a sudden, these young, vulnerable college kids turn and just look at me like, did you really just say that? And then I'm thinking, now we're really going to die. We're on the crosswalk. We need to get across the street. And I was so apologetic and, oh, I'm so sorry. And you know what? I had to get rid of the shame and the guilt that the enemy put on me. And I said, you know what, guys? Sometimes we have little hurdles. But right now, that was a hurdle. But we need to walk through this, and we're going to keep going. And we had some of the most beautiful encounters. We were able to hear people's stories that have been through such incredible hardship. One guy literally was showing us his arm that had was full of metal and scarring because he had seen two of his friends beheaded by ISIS because they said, join us. And they were Muslim, peaceful, and said, no, that's not what we want to do. His two best friends were killed, and he literally had to run for his life. And in turn, he had this mangled arm. But the coolest thing, guys, that we were able to bring that it's new for me, that I've learned getting out of this unexpected, uncomfortable moment, is that especially the majority of the people we met were of other faiths. And God wants us to cross over that barrier. When there's a barrier there, it could be in my mind, and he's saying cross over. They're hungry. They're looking. And it was so beautiful to learn in Arabic, Jesus is the word Isa. And over we prayed for those that we met through Isa. And they allowed us to. And it was beautiful. So today, ask the Father if there's a barrier there, something I don't even understand, let me walk through it by your faith. So finishing on this, when we looked earlier at Psalm 90, and that verse 12 says, teach us to number our days, that we have a heart of wisdom. And it's so key, because when we live intentionally, when we live deliberate, God will bring encounters to us, will bring it to them. That's his heart. He loves the world. And one day, we all will live eternally. We all will live eternally somewhere. So, Father, would you stand? Sorry, would you guys stand? Thank you, God. So, Father, Lord, when we see what you have done on the cross, what excuse, what barriers do we have? Lord, help us to see through your eyes. We praise you that you have won the victory, and we walk in that victory. So, God, I thank you that you are always working. Your heart is for us to just come alongside and join what you're already doing in people's lives. Lord, give us, I just pray right now, Father, just that as we make those adjustments, as we walk into those things, God, we would carry your boldness. We would carry your strength and courage. Because life is not just about us and us going to eternity, but your heart is for the whole world. We love you, Jesus. I just pray this in your name. Amen.
That's awesome, Penny. Thank you so much. So we're all going to go down Shenfield High Street and find Susan. Guys, have a great rest of the day. There are teas and coffees to my left if you're new. If you want prayer this morning, please do come and join us at the front. But have a blessed day, have a great week, and we'll see you real soon. Take care. God bless.